This is WPTF, and we are on the radio with Making Your Home Great. But we're gonna start this show in a different way. So, Brock, how was your Friday?
How was my Friday? It was wet. It was,
yes,
it was very, very wet.
Sure.
It was. We weren't ready for Friday.
So, were you scouting out a job? I mean, was it a regular work day?
Well, I mean, I'm sure we've all kind of paid attention to the news. We know how bad the weather got north of the triangle,
right.
Specifically Rocky Mount got hit very, very hard.
Right.
No, we were doing an install in Rocky Mount on Friday. So that was very scary for not only my installers but myself.
Right.
Tornado hit down 5-6 blocks from the house that we were working on. Now we
really?
Were doing crawl space work.
Yeah.
I grew up in Texas. I did a lot of work in Oklahoma. I've seen my fair share of tornadoes. People that grew up in areas, you know, you ask anybody from Kansas, they'll tell you, "Oh, you can smell them coming."
Really?
You can smell it in the air. You can see it, the clouds. You can feel it in the wind.
Yep.
There's just, you kind of develop a sense for it. And the three of us were kind of out talking, and sure enough, we all were like, "Oh man, this weather's getting a little interesting." Then the alarms go off, the sirens go off, and for
man.
Us it was easy. It's dive under the house. We're working in the crawl space. Open up the crawl space door. Get under the home. It's probably going to be the safest place. And it was bad. That was a bad, bad storm. It caused a lot of damage to that area. Luckily, just a few blocks away from where we were moving in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's where the wind was taking it. But then coming back from Rocky Mount, I live in Garner. It's normally about hour drive, give
right.
or take.
Sure.
It took me 4.5 hours to get back from Rocky Mount.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
4.5 hours?
Yeah, that morning I thought, do I take the Mitsubishi 4-cylinder and get good gas mileage today, or do I take the Cummins diesel 4x4 truck?
Yes.
And luckily, the man in me won that argument, and I took the Cummins diesel, thank
Otherwise,
goodness.
You'd still be there.
I might still be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming back, all the roads were washed out. There were people that were... I personally witnessed two cars try to trudge across the highway that had been flooded out, and they started floating. Traffic's lining up behind us. There's no way to move forward, no way to move backward. And again, luckily, I picked the right vehicle.
Yeah, good for you. And your truck is lifted a little bit.
Well, it's a 4x4 diesel, so
right.
it's a big truck.
It's high. Okay. Was there a river nearby that went over the banks, or was this just
I think
the
it
rain?
Was runoff. I do
yeah.
think it was runoff. There were not many industrial complexes around where we were. It
yeah.
was mostly the woods, but the amount of water that had accumulated at the low spot under the bridge on the highway
yeah.
just got deep enough where the smaller cars would try to trudge through it and would end up getting flooded out.
Yeah.
So I've never seen that kind of rainfall before. Coming back, I got stuck in the back half of the storm. The tornado had passed, but we were getting pounded with rain.
Yeah.
I'm driving 6 to 10 miles an hour on the highway with the hazards on, windshield wipers on full blast, and I can't see to the end of the hood of my truck.
Wow.
That was just one of the most impressive rainstorms I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know how much water we got, but it flooded out the whole area in, what, half an hour?
Yeah.
That's a lot. And then, of course, our phones started blowing up. I've got water under the house. I bet you do. There's
water
on the road, too.
We got water everywhere.
Yeah. When you're dealing with that kind of volume of water, I don't care if you have awesome French drains that run around the outside of your house. It's not enough to
right.
collect that kind of volume.
Right. And we also went through a lot of rain over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ground was
saturated.
Mushy. My lawnmower fella would not come out last week at all
mm-hmm.
because he said, well, the ground's too soft.
It is.
And you know, he's not coming out this week because it's soft. Still, we've got a shaggy yard now. But wow, I'm just amazed.
I am too. You know, the dump. You know, a lot of people don't think about the dump, right?
Okay.
How many of us are going down to the dump? Well, we go to the dump a lot.
We
pull a lot of stuff out of crawl spaces.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We've got to dispose of the material. The dump has been closed for like, I don't know, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They won't let you dump when the mountain, they call it a mountain, you're essentially driving up a mountain with a trailer of trash and you're dumping at the top, and they've got big Caterpillar machines up there that are moving the trash around
and
whatnot,
right.
But they won't let you climb that when it's wet because there's a lot of nails and stuff in that. And
yes.
If you ground out and you start spinning the tires, you shred the tires. That's how you blow tires. So even the dump has been closed. So we've got, I don't know, two Connex boxes full of trash at our warehouse just waiting for us to get to go to the dump.
Wow.
It's been a weird, weird couple of weeks when it comes to the weather.
Wow. Outside of the weather, I mean, forgetting the storm for a moment, has this period of time been interrupted by rain and water underneath crawl spaces? Are you able to do that work?
Normally, if we realize that the homeowner has an issue with water getting under the crawl space, we try to address that concern before we go in and do full encapsulation.
Right.
You know, we've said on the show before, it's a common misconception. People are like, oh, my crawl space sealed. There's no water down there. No. Your crawl space is encapsulated. It gives it an enclosed environment for us to control the relative humidity that doesn't keep out bulk groundwater.
It's air encapsulated.
Essentially.
Right.
Yeah, water encapsulated, that's when you're digging out on the outside of the house. You dig all the way down to the footer. You apply an epoxy on the wall of the house, which is essentially a tar. It's a waterproofing material.
Right.
You know, there's ways to waterproof, but encapsulation is not in that category.
Wow. Okay. So, again, are you able to get any work done?
Yeah. I mean, the one on Friday, we're going to have to come back to that kind of rainstorm. Yeah, that's going to delay us a little bit. The majority of the rainstorms we get here, no. We're used to working in the rain and working around stuff like that.
Right.
As long as it's not hurricane volume water.
Right. That's just amazing. All right. So is this the season for encapsulation, or is it the season for the attic, work?
It should be the season for attic work.
Yeah.
You know, people are getting geared up for the winter. Oddly enough, it's the opposite side of the coin. We are absolutely loaded with crawl space jobs right now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The majority of the homeowners we talked about said, no, we made the decision this year that we wanted to have this done. We were hoping to get it done by the summer.
Right.
But, you know, cost of living, it delayed. So we're wanting to get it done this fall before it becomes a problem again next spring.
Right.
So we're getting a lot of crawl space stuff right now. And due to that, we're finding a lot of mold that was missed this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, convince me that nobody in your company is just looking for mold because, you know, they get in the crawl space and they say, oh, we can upsell these guys.
Right. Yeah, believe it or not, there's not the way that we charge for mold remediation. There's not a lot of profit in mold remediation, and our installers are not huge fans of doing it in the first place. It's their job. They're required to do it if it's there. But
sure.
If they can not do mold remediation in a crawl space, they're happy.
Okay.
So we're not going down there looking for it specifically to sell it.
Right.
Mold eats whatever it's growing on.
Yes.
So I would not be good at my job if I went down there and found something that is prematurely eroding the structural integrity of your home, and I just don't tell you.
Yeah.
So, again, my job is, hey, you got a little bit of mold. Luckily, it's like 40 square feet, and it's in the back left corner. We don't have to do a heavy remediation. We can just get down there and spot treat it.
Yeah.
Regardless, we go in with GoPro cameras. So when we come out of the crawl space, so the homeowner doesn't have to get down there and crawl around with us. They can. They're more than welcome to.
I'm going to let that chance go by.
We'll come back and show you photos and everything, and we'll show you the severity. It's your home. It's up to you. If you want to remediate it, great. We'll help you out. If you don't, we did our job. We made you aware of the problem and let you make your own choice.
But you're not going to encapsulate, are you? You're not going to hide this thing.
No, we're not going to cover mold.
Good.
So that's not something we're interested in doing at all.
I'm going to ask you about mold because we have talked about two types of mold, and I don't know whether there's more than two.
Many.
There's
more.
Many types. Yeah. All right. Well, I ask you about that because it used to be almost like when somebody said the word asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got asbestos. It was like your house has cancer.
Light a match.
Right. Light a match. Insure it and burn it. The other thing was when mold arrived in your house.
Right.
Well, that's it. Forget it.
Yep.
You know, I'm gonna paint over it and sell it now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people did because they were so afraid that it was going to be totally out of control.
Yep.
We're talking about that coming up next on Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier on WPTF. FM 92.9, 107.3, and 680 WPTF. We are on with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. Hello, I'm Dave Alexander, and we are talking about mold. Yay! Well, I mean, this is, as you said, it's not a big money maker for the company.
I mean, it could be.
But it's something that you really concentrate on.
Yeah.
And you know about.
Yes.
All right. So talk to me. We've talked about white mold and black mold.
Sure.
Does white mold turn into black mold?
It can. Black mold can grow in white mold.
All right.
If the white mold gets bad enough, you can start developing black mold and starts growing in that. And it will eat all the white mold and eat down to whatever the white mold is growing on and then start eating whatever that is. Black mold is a bad one. That's something you want to get taken care of. You know, obviously, we all know mold is not good for you. So 25 years prior to today, most companies that remediate mold are scare tactic companies.
Yeah.
Once my partner and I got into the industry and we started doing BPI training and CRMI training to do mold remediation, and we started realizing really what it costs to do it, and then hearing customers that are like, oh, this company charged me $30,000 to come in here and do that. And I'm like, I could build you a house for $30,000. No, it doesn't cost that much money. It also depends on the type of mold remediation that you're doing.
Yeah.
So when my partner and I realized, God, this is a scare tactic. It's just, oh, there's mold everywhere. We're going to have to either tear the house down and you'll lose hundreds of thousands of dollars, or you can pay us $30,000 and we'll come in and do the mold remediation.
Yeah.
No, that's not us. When it comes to our pricing, we make a little bit on mold remediation. We really make more money on the other line items, the insulation. We're an insulation company.
Right.
So we make good money on insulation, good money on plastic, full crawl space encapsulations, insulation.
In a certain way, conceptually, we want you to make a little bit. You know,
or we won't be around tomorrow.
Right. As the customer, I want you to be successful.
So we wrote in our profit and line items that we sell a lot.
Yeah.
The plastic, the insulation, the wall insulation. When it comes to mold remediation, our main focus is getting it killed, not breaking the customer's bank. And there's a reason behind that. We know what caused the mold. I've been doing this a long time. I know what caused the mold. The humidity in your crawl space is too high.
Right.
So if you pay us $10,000 to come in and remediate the mold, there's no more money left over to prevent it from coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now we need to encapsulate your crawl space and install a dehumidifier to make sure this never happens again. But you spent all your money killing the mold in the beginning. So we charge the least amount of money we can possibly get away with to get all the mold eradicated. And now we can help you invest to prevent this from coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so types of mold. White mold is, it's benign.
Yeah, it's the musty stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we're all familiar with is, oh, I can smell it. What's that musty? It's white mold.
Black mold can kill you.
Black mold has been known to be cancerous.
Yeah.
Especially if the spores are airborne, which is why you don't wipe black mold.
Okay.
Even if you spray it with chemicals, you're like, oh, it kills mold. I'm going to sit there and wipe it and not wear a mask. Don't do that. That's not good.
Okay.
So you need to treat black mold very differently than you treat other types of mold.
Right. And there are other types of mold.
Oh, yeah. You're going to run into different types of organic growth throughout the country, depending on where we are. Here, really, it's the big four. It's black mold, white mold, brown and orange fungal bacterial growth are going to be the most common. It's a fungus that will grow in dark, damp places. You ever seen a log out in the woods and it's got mushrooms growing on it and orange fungus and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You can run into that in a very humid, moist crawl space. But those are going to be the four most common.
Wow. I could not take, conceptually, I could not look at mushrooms underneath my house.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
We actually find mushrooms growing under customers' homes pretty often. Those, again, that's a pretty good indication the humidity down here is way, way too high. But, 15 years ago, if you get under your house and you see you've got fungus growing on the wood and mold growing on the wood, you've got a contractor that comes in and says, all this has to be ripped out. We need to tear all the floors out of your house. We need to remove all the structural supports. We need to replace all the wood.
Sure.
It's going to cost you $80,000 for us to do all this. Or we can come in and dry ice blast it. Kill all the fungus, kill all the mold, blast all the staining out of the lumber, and everything looks brand new. That's going to cost you $4,000.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
So that's,
does it grow back?
Not if we take steps to prevent it.
Okay.
So now it's, all right, we've remediated the effect.
Yeah.
Now let's focus on the cause. What caused this?
And the cause is moisture.
Moisture.
And it's in the air, and there are some people who claim that they can do you a favor by putting something on the wood and testing the humidity of the wood,
the moisture reading.
Yeah, some bug companies come along and do that. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Well, the moisture in the wood is a direct cause or a direct effect of the cause, which is the high relative humidity.
Right.
So. Yes, we don't use moisture readers. I use humidity sensors because it's going to tell me the same thing, essentially.
Sure.
The humidity sensors, where it's different, is it tracks the data over a week or two. A moisture sensor just gives you the reading of the moisture in the wood in the moment you plunge it into the wood.
Right.
I would like to see a track record here. I want to see what's happening over a certain period of time. Is it like that all the time? Does it have highs and lows?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that helps us treat these things.
The remediation can involve several different options.
Oh, yes.
The least expensive option, I understand, is laying down better plastic.
Well, when it comes to remediating the mold...
you've got to remediate.
Yeah, the cheaper option is spot treatment. So that's where we just go in and you've got a little bit of mold in the back corner, a little bit of mold over there to the left. We'll go in there and treat it. Sand it down, try to get as much of the staining out of the wood, and call it a day.
Right.
Now, if you're talking about steps to prevent it from coming back, yes, step one is you need a really good plastic down, not a 6 mil trash bag that you got down at Home Depot and you and your brother went down there and tried to install it, and you can still see a bunch of dirt. You left gaps between the plastic. That's not going to do anything.
Not everybody is that poor at things, but I am. So, yeah, that's exactly... Exactly. Now, what mil is the code? And do you suggest that?
Minimum code mil is 6.
Yeah.
So it's a 6 mil. 6 mil is like a heavy duty trash bag, like a black garbage trash bag.
Not good enough?
Well, it's it's fine if you never have a human being under the home ever and you never get any critters down there. It tears fairly easily, so if you go walking or crawling across it, it's pretty easy to tear it.
Yeah.
If you encapsulate, minimum coat is a 10 mil. I personally wouldn't recommend putting any plastic under your house that's not reinforced. So a 10 mil reinforced, a 12 mil, a 15, a 16, a 20. 20's kind of overkill, but they do make it. You can get it out there.
Yeah.
That stuff you can't tear, so at least you do it once, and you don't have to do it again for another 15 to 20 years. You put down a 6 mil, you're probably going to redo it within 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think that I've ever seen like my own crawl spaces except with holes right there near the door,
mm-hmm.
because every contractor comes through,
yep.
and they go in on their knees, and next thing you know, the poked holes. We're going to pick up this topic, and I'm going to find out what are the choices to remediate the moisture into the crawl space. Coming up next. FM 92.9, 107.3, and AM 680 WPTF, making your home great. I'm Dave Alexander. He is Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, and we are talking about the crawl space now. We're going to get to talk about the radiant barrier in just a minute. We were under the house. We determined that we need to mold remediate. And then we've got to come up with some plan to keep the humidity down.
Yeah. Sometimes I get customers, they'll say, hey, we've lived in the house 25 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, great. I get down there, I do the inspection. Mm-hmm. While I'm under the house, I find 65 square feet collectively of mold in a 1,400 square foot crawl space.
Hmm.
Okay, so that homeowner has a pretty good argument to say, you know what, I'm going to spray the mold and kill it.
Yeah.
I want you to go ahead and put down a really good quality plastic,
but
that's it. I've been here 25 years, and 25 years I've only collected 60 square feet of mold down here. It's clearly not so much of a problem. I'm overly concerned.
Yeah.
By me killing the mold and putting down a much better plastic, that should at least get me another 25 years.
Well, that's fine.
Well, okay. Yeah. That's a pretty good argument. Let's just focus on getting the plastic done. We're not looking to sell full crawl space encapsulations to every customer we run into. It is the solution to a serious problem.
Yeah.
If you don't have a serious problem, there are other minor solutions that can get you back to where you want to be and help protect your home.
All right. You talk about put the plastic down.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. We know this. We know we should have plastic down. We know it should be now high quality. It should be.
You should wrap all the columns. You should tape all the seams.
Yeah.
You should run it up the exterior masonry walls of the crawl space 6 to 7 inches. Ram set it into the wall and foam bead the top edge. So no possible moisture can leak up through the vapor barrier and impact the space. That's how you do it correctly. There's a lot of ways to do it incorrectly. You do it correctly. And when you do it correctly, it works.
And beyond that, what's the next logical step if that's
not enough?
Not enough, yeah.
So airflow, there's a reason that we normally don't have a lot of mold growing on the inside of the home,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe a bathroom, but we know why,
yeah.
right? There's so much moisture, taking hot showers, it gets really steamy. There's a chance it could happen. You don't find a lot of mold growing on the ceiling of your kitchen, your living room. The reason is it's conditioned. You're pumping air in that house. There's a return that's pulling air out, and your HVAC's pumping new air in, so you're getting airflow. That's the logic behind having vents on your house.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. On a windy day, vents work real well. It causes a negative pressure airflow pull that starts pulling air out of the crawl space.
Okay.
If it's not a windy day, what are you under the impression your vents are doing? They're not doing anything.
Really? Okay.
Every ventilated crawl space I get into, I find growth because it's humid outside.
Yeah.
So we're taking humid air from outside and stuffing it down into a crawl space where it sits.
Under my original house, not the house I own now, but the original house, the previous owner had put fans in.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have helped any?
Vent fans? Yeah, that was the old school.
No. I'm talking school bus fans. You know, the little clanky things, but maybe bigger?
Believe it or not, it does improve it a little bit.
Okay.
Because you're moving airflow under the house. Now,
all right.
The most effective, prior to us realizing it's better to seal the vents and introduce airflow with induction or a dehumidifier, but prior to that, they, you know, the little vents on this outside of the house,
yeah,
they make fans that mount on the inside of those vents. So you put two on one side of the house pulling air in,
yeah,
and you put two on the other side of the house pushing air out.
Yes.
Those were not bad. Those actually did a pretty decent job keeping the airflow down.
Right.
The knock, it's an electric motor.
Oh, yeah.
So within 3 years, it's going to fail, and you're going to have to pay an electrician to come back out and install a new one, and you have four of them.
Yeah.
So it turns into a repetitively, unfortunately, a very repetitive repair that you're constantly replacing these little fans out. So, no, now we just seal the vents.
Yep.
And we either do air induction, we tap into the junction box and the crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're running the air conditioner, you're pushing about 150 cubic feet per minute into the crawl, or you do a dehumidifier.
Okay. You're actually saying that some people run the air-conditioned air into the crawl space.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not. It is the cheaper option.
Now, my wife likes it a little chilly.
Yep.
Like down to about 60.
Oh.
In the
That is chilly.
Yeah, it is chilly. And I'm not going to waste all that money, am I?
No. 150 cubic feet per minute. If you were to hold your hand about a foot away from your mouth and just blow into your hand, not as hard as you can, just normally blow, that's about how much airflow you're losing.
Okay. All
so right. Are you losing a little bit of airflow? Yes. Is it so much so it's really going to impact the airflow in the home? No.
Are they also pulling some air out?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
There is no return in a crawl space, which is, again, another reason I'm not a big fan of air induction.
Yeah.
We do offer it. It is the cheaper option.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work very well.
Okay.
Now, I'll give you an example.
Please.
On Friday, before I had to drive up to Rocky Mount, I did another QA inspection, quality assurance inspection, for a homeowner that we just sealed their crawl space, and they elected to go with air induction. Now, Friday, we all know, was 65, 70 degrees, but it was rainy. Boy, it was rainy.
Yeah.
So when I went out to do the final inspection, we hook up a sensor in the crawl space so the customer can monitor humidity from their phone so they know that this is working. And I told the homeowner, I looked at your contract. I noticed you picked air induction. So if you get alerts on your phone that tell you the humidity is too high, you need to go run your air conditioner. She goes, oh, we'll probably be running the air conditioner. You know, it'll be 90. And I said, all right, let's do a little test. I went down there. She had not been running her air conditioner that day because it was cool and it was rainy. We hooked up the sensor in her brand new fully encapsulated crawl space, and her humidity was immediately 86.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Okay.
And she said, I just sealed this. What is going on? I said, come with me. And we walked into her house. I walked right up to her thermostat. I turned it down into the 60s.
Yeah.
And we watched the humidity under the house drop all the way down below 65. The second the unit turned off, that humidity starts coming back. When you pick air induction, you control the humidity under your home with your thermostat.
Okay.
And it can cause an increase in utility cost. And if you're not home watching it on those days when it's real rainy, there's no one there to turn the air conditioning on, and you could develop mold growth again down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we recommend the dehumidifier. You don't need to do anything. It's got an internal thermal hygrometer. Humidity gets high, it kicks on, brings it down, shuts off.
Right.
It's going to cost you a little bit more money up front, but it works every time.
Yeah. Okay. And does it pull a lot of electricity?
The older units did. That was the knock on the old dehus, is they were not very efficient. Right. April Air, about 6 years ago, started coming out with their E-series dehumidifiers.
Yeah.
E-70s, E-80s, E-100s, how many pints of water it can do based on the size of the crawl space.
Sure.
It's an efficiency unit. No, those things are very efficient, and most homeowners I've talked to have told me they have noticed absolutely no measurable difference in their utility cost.
Right.
So apparently, they are pretty darn efficient,
yeah.
Kind of like a microwave.
That's good. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a question that has nothing to do with this. Was it High Park Bar and Grill that I was supposed to give the gift certificate for?
I do believe that is the case.
All right. In any case, we got a $20 or $25 gift certificate. You got a question about your crawl space or even your attic. Is it too hot in one spot and too thick with humidity in the other?
Or if you need help picking out what outfit to wear tomorrow, give us a call.
Anything?
Anything.
Like that?
Yeah, just like that.
Why would they trust us?
I almost know. You
got a shirt on.
Wearing a Bahama Mama shirt. I'm probably not the one you want to ask advice of.
With little puppies
with
on
little
it.
With little dogs on it.
Yeah, and I almost...
Super manly.
I also almost wore that same shirt, except with little pine... or little palm trees on it. So we would not be the guys to talk about clothing. But here's the thing. It's open to you if you come up with any sort of home construction question. 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783. Call right now and dial carefully. This is FM 92.9. FM 107.3 and AM 680 WPTF. FM 92.9, 107.3 and AM 680 WPTF. Now, we've got Larry in Holly Springs. Got a question. And of course, he's the winner of the High Park Bar and Grill gift certificate. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm so excited I won this thing. That wasn't the reason I was calling, but I'm glad to take it. I appreciate it.
Oh, good. Good. So you have an actual non-made-up immediately question? You know, you didn't...
That's exactly right.
All right, go ahead.
I've been trying to find the answer to this, but I've been looking online. I'm insulating the wooden walls of my crawl space. In other words, the part that's from the cinder block up to the floor.
Yes.
And I have 3-inch insulation that's unsafe. But I know I should have a vapor barrier, but I'm really perplexed on should the vapor barrier be on the inside of the crawl space or the outside of the house.
Excellent question. How old's the house?
It's about 4 years old.
Four? Okay, so it's on the outside. If you've ever driven through a neighborhood and you see when they finish the framing before they actually put up the brick or the siding or whatever's on, it's always wrapped in a white Tyvek.
Uh-huh.
That white Tyvek is the moisture barrier. That's the vapor barrier protecting the inside of the house. Now, the reason that the walls you're referring to, those are called pony walls, where half the wall is cement or cinder block, and the other half is a wood structure. The pony walls, you do not want to have faced batted insulation. You do want it to be unfaced. We've said on the show before, mold does not grow in insulation. It can't. It's not organic, so it can't feed off of it.
Right.
But it can grow on the paper backing of insulation. So normally when we insulate crawl spaces, we use paperless batted insulation to help prevent from future mold growth. So it actually sounds like whoever did the work probably did it correctly.
Okay, I do have the house wrap because I see the little strings coming up behind the siding sometimes.
Perfect.
The house wrap. So I just put unfaced insulation in the crawl space and I'm good.
Well, it depends what you mean by good. It will pass code, yes.
Okay.
Oh, no, Larry, we don't just go by code. No, no, no. You ever watch Homes by Homes?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The fellow from Canada, he hates code.
Yeah.
It's not that he dislikes the code instructions. He just says, you got to go farther. You got to go farther. So, Larry, let's have Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier tell you what you might need.
Well, Larry, I always start off asking homeowners, what are the concerns that you have with the crawl space? What are you trying to prevent from happening?
Well, I have a semi-sealed crawl space. I put plastic down my shelf and up to the walls and such. And there's, I wanted to keep it warmer down there.
Okay.
Cooler in the appropriate season.
Okay. That's actually a fairly simple solution. So is your crawl space still ventilated? Are the vents open?
I closed them.
Okay, so what airflow did you introduce down there? Did you put in a dehumidifier or do air induction?
I did both.
You did both. Outstanding. Yeah. So
only because I had a residential dehumidifier and it wasn't that big, but I set that at about 60%, and then I have the induction.
Got it.
Air conditioning.
I would probably recommend turning the dehu down to 55. That's kind of the sweet spot. So maybe next time you're down there, make that adjustment. I will tell you, as long as you've sealed the vents, you have a lot of exterior wall penetrations, places where there's plumbing, electrical, the HVAC power cord that comes through the cinder block. That's a lot of places where airflow gets in. And when it's really cold outside, that is where the cold air gets into the crawl space if you have the vent sealed. So if you get down there with crack and joint foam, just a little can of foam from Home Depot, get your little foam gun that goes with it, seal up around those penetrations. Believe it or not, that will probably help to keep that crawl space 5 to 10 degrees warmer. And if you guys are running the heater, you're actually blowing heat down there. So that is going to help with the heat retention and warm up that space as well. That's a pretty cheap fix.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Good question.
All right, thank you, Larry. Let's welcome John in Raleigh with a question. John, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I've just had to replace the sump pump in the crawl space this week, and I've noticed there's a bigger issue. Now, based on our previous quote, not from your company, but another, it's going to be a while before I can afford a total seal on the crawl space. The vents are blocked. There is plastic on the floor, but we've still got a high degree of humidity. If I went ahead and put a dehumidifier without encapsulating, is that going to provide a significant benefit?
Drastically different.
Okay.
I would recommend, what was this? Is it a one or a two-story home?
Two-story.
And what's the is it like a box on a box?
Don't know what that means.
The top square footage is pretty close to the down square footage. If you're standing on the outside of the house just goes like straight up.
I think we'd call it a 1.5 story.
Okay. So what's the total square footage of the home?
Hang on. I got a question. John, do you have a radio on in the background? And if you do, can you turn it down?
I just turned it off.
Never turn it off. Keep it on WPTF all the time. All right, go ahead, John. Sorry.
So square footage of the home?
3,500.
Okay, so would you say that your crawl space is probably about half of that square footage? Maybe 1,500 square feet?
I'll say yeah.
Okay. You're probably going to be, if you were going to get a dehumidifier, I would recommend getting online and looking up the April Air EO80. That'll produce 80 pints, and those are set up for 1,500 to 2,000 square foot crawl spaces. That will drop the humidity and keep it where you want it permanently. The only difference between an encapsulated crawl space and what you have, which is a semi-sealed non-ventilating, is a dehumidifier running in an encapsulated crawl space is going to run maybe 2 hours a day. In a semi-sealed, non-ventilating crawl space, it's probably going to be about double that. So it will still achieve what you're wanting. It'll bring the humidity into the 50s, and it will correct the problem. But I would entertain getting something done within the next year or two just to help provide a longer life expectancy for the dehu.
Got it. Okay, and what would be an expected price for that unit you've recommended?
The EO80s, I know that you can get those things on Amazon. I want to say they're somewhere between $1,000 and $1,400. I know that we charge $2,000 to come out and install it for you, and that is obviously with the dehu. That's not just labor. That's dehu included. And you are going to want a 110 GFI trip outlet to plug it into. So most of the time it does involve bringing in an electrician.
I've already got ground fault circuit.
Outstanding. Yeah, so if you already got one down there, it's really just the dehue and the hookup.
You're just plugging it in.
Yeah, well, when we do it, we suspension hang it, included in that price.
Yeah.
Because most companies will just put the dehue on a platform in the middle of the crawl space, but now you have to gravity drain it down into a condensation pump.
Mm-hmm.
And those condensation pumps are garbage. They only last 4 or 5 years. You just had to replace a sump pump. It's pretty close to the same mechanical part. When we do it, we suspension hang it from the subfloor so we can just gravity drain it right out the unit, out of a vent, so mm-hmm. we bypass ever needing a condensation pump. So there are a few variables. If you don't have us do it, you have somebody else do it, it could be more expensive depending on how they install it.
Right. Or I could just gravity feed the suspension to my sump pump well.
You can, actually. As long as the sump pump is plugged into a separate GFI outlet, they will allow you to do that.
Yeah, I understand now. All right, and you're with Triangle Radiant Barrier?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And we do full site inspections for free at no cost. So if you're interested, just let us know. We'll come out and take a peek.
And your name is?
It's Brock, B-R-O-C-K.
Got it. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Right. Thanks for the call.
We're going to put you on hold for a moment because I'm going to send you also a High Park Bar and Grill gift certificate. With our compliments, man, I don't know whether it's 20 or 25, but you know it'll get you through a meal. You know, absolutely. In fact, most of their meals are much less than that.
It's good food too.
Oh, it is good. Very good food. Wonderful people. Great atmosphere. John, thank you. Let's just put you on hold and get all your details. All right. So you just kind of told us that you can actually solve some of these problems with just
certain things. Yeah,
certain. You know,
it's all based on severity. It's just like a doctor.
Yeah,
right. I'm not going to compare what we do to doctors. That's not a fair comparison. Those guys go to school their whole lives.
Yeah, but
right?
it's a choice.
But their job is to assess the problem.
Yeah.
And come up with a solution to get corrected. Ours is the same thing. If we get into a crawl space and it's absolutely saturated and mold everywhere,
yeah.
I'm going to feel pretty confident telling the homeowner, we got a serious issue here. We need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. This is right. going to help fix this problem. If it's minor, we do not go in there and sell the house. That's yeah. not how we do business, which is why our reputation is next to flawless if you look us up online.
Yeah.
We have a great relationship with our clients because we treat them how we would if it was my grandmother, my parent, my friend I went to high school with.
Yep.
Let me shoot you straight. Let me tell you what the problem is. These are the solutions. Which one do you want to go with?
Yeah.
Our job is just educational, and whatever choice they go with, we implement that to the best of our abilities.
Very good. So tell us again. You do crawl space and you also do attics. We don't have time to talk about
right.
the insulation but in the attics, but you put down, you got a product called Radiant Barrier.
Radiant Barrier, spray foam, blown in, batted insulation, attic cat, rock wool. We're a full one-stop shop when it comes to insulation. Full mold remediation company. And that is heavy remediation. We do not do interior drywall remediation because our equipment would shred the drywall.
Yeah, isn't it?
But we do wood.
If you get a mold on drywall, it's game over, right?
Yeah, you're either sanding it down or you just cut it out and replace it.
All right. This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF. FM 92.9, 107.9. 107.3 and AM 680 WPTF. I didn't make a big deal of it in the first hour, but we're now on at 11 in the morning, right after the Weekend Gardener, which is a perfect spot for this show. We start out with, the outside, the garden, and we come inside and talk about the house. Craig, the floor guy, is joining us right now. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing good.
Good. Of course, we're on at 11, except when there's a sports broadcast that needs to be on at, 11 or 12 or whatever. We'll be on as long as we're okay with the other schedule. And, of course, we love our UNC sports. So, Craig, how's the week been?
Oh, it's been a very interesting week.
Yeah.
I was listening to Brock and yourself talking about crawl spaces and moisture, and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I've been in a few crawl spaces this week myself.
Yeah.
And it is a very important part of the home to maintain and to be aware. I'm glad to hear the listeners calling in and talking. It's more awareness. You know, I'm proud of the awareness we're bringing to it because it's been a neglected part of a home for too long.
And I think that what happens is that people really are afraid of going down into their crawl space. I mean, there's some claustrophobic things, but we never check our own crawl spaces. And without checking it, no, we never do. I haven't done that in my whole adult life. I went down once to replace that heavenly dryer vent hose, and I'll never go down again.
I think it's just an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, you have a busy day, you come home, you're ready to rest, relax. On the weekend, you've got plans, especially if people have children and they got things going on the weekend with the family and children and church and whatever else that might be going, you know, shopping and home chores. We've got to do laundry.
Yep.
Oh, well, hold on. I need to take time to go crawl around under my house and make sure there's not mold growing or my insulation isn't drooping. You know what I mean? It's just not high on the checklist of the weekend chores.
I always have something else that I'd rather do. So why does the floor guy for American Dream Flooring and Tile go underneath my house?
Yeah, what's Craig the floor guy doing under the house in the crawl space?
Right.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the floors that we replace are due to improper substrate, which is the subfloor.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we try to make sure we do when we're meeting with a homeowner to evaluate their needs, which we call it qualifying the customer's needs, is we want to make sure that we're specifying or recommending the proper product for the application and the need of the home.
Right.
Most homeowners that we meet are just concerned about color and price. They want this certain color, a certain price. Some have done some research online, you know, Google what's the best flooring I can buy or what's the, you know what I mean?
That's not effective, is it?
You're going to get led astray by a bunch of marketing scams when you do that. But what we do is we want to look at the crawl space, look at the subfloor. We want to see if you have mold or moisture issues. And I was just under a house this morning.
Yeah.
A homeowner came in the showroom a few days ago, and he had been in once before and actually scheduled an appointment and then rescheduled it and then came back in again. And I was able to get a moment with him to talk to him and talked him into letting me come back out this morning. I was actually there this morning on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did, because immediately when I walked in his house, I could feel the floor flexing under my foot. I could feel it, you know, giving with every step I took. I could actually feel where the joists were, the beams, and I could feel the weakness in between each of those.
Yes.
And, I said, man, you got something going on here. I started trying to look for an area where I could see the subfloor to see the type of subfloor he had. And I found a little spot under his dishwasher where I could take a peek, and usually I'll pull a vent, but his vents were in the ceiling, so I couldn't do that. So, I saw that I thought at first he might've had particle board subfloor,
right?
But he didn't. He had OSB oriented strand board subfloor,
all right,
which is similar to plywood. But a little bit different, but a good quality subfloor, regardless.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So it was when I saw that it was oriented strand board and not particle board, because there are houses out there with particle board subfloors. Then I asked him where is his crawl space entrance. So he took me outside and I looked under, had a flashlight. He opened the door. I kneeled down and shined the flashlight in there, and the first thing I could see was it looked like it was raining insulation.
Yeah.
And we know what that means when the insulation is drooping and falling and, you know, looks like it's hanging down in stringy webs. that's a sign of moisture penetration. And then I could see signs of light, very light mildew growth or mold growth on the wood substructure. But the biggest issue I saw is he had zero moisture barrier under his house.
Wow.
None at all.
He had no plastic down.
No plastic under his house at all. Man. Now, I'm in Myrtle Beach in a coastal market.
Right.
And so there's different codes requirements down here depending on where you at. When you get close to the coast and to the beach where you're in a flood-prone area, they actually do not allow you to put plastic on the ground under the house. What the code requires is for it to be attached to the substructure, to the joist and the beams, so it's kind of stapled up.
Okay.
But still protecting the wood. They want the ground to be exposed, so if water or flooding gets under the house, it can absorb into the ground and naturally dissipate.
Okay.
But he had neither.
No.
So in addition to that issue, which was causing the weakness and the flexing in his subfloor and his droopy insulation and mildew growth.
Yes.
The builder, this house was only about 5 years old. The builder put a cheap, thin, luxury vinyl plank LVP flooring in, which was also flexing and starting to snap and break and come apart.
Sure.
And I've said many times on the show, LVP is a good floor when it's properly specified, you know, the right thickness and quality of floor for the substrate you're putting it on.
Right.
And when you're putting it over a wood subfloor that's going to have some movement and flex in it, it needs to be a nice, thick, beefy product so the locks on it can do their job and keep the floor locked together. And he did not. He had a very thin LVP, which would have been something you would put on a concrete subfloor, which does not flex. And so he had gapping and snapping and cracking and popping. And he's going to be getting a whole new floor.
Now, is he going to have to replace that oriented strand board, which is the, you called it the substrate, right?
Yeah, the subfloor, the substrate. I don't think he's going to need to. I think it's just, so Brock was talking in the previous segment about moisture readings or a humidity testing.
Yep.
His subfloor is holding a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
Which causes it to swell. And when it swells, it weakens. So once I told him what he needs to do is have a treatment, a mildicidal treatment done. And then the insulation needs to be resupported. More, there are little hangers that hold it up need to be more of those put in. I said, I don't know. They may recommend you replace your insulation. I'm not sure, but have a professional that does the mediation and crawl space work come out and look at it. But treat the mold, make sure the insulation is adequate, have a moisture barrier attached to the substructure, and then it'll dry. It should dry out over time. It would be, I don't think it'd do any good to put a dehumidifier under his house because it's open. It's an open air crawl space, almost like built up on stilts sort of, but only a few feet up off the ground. But, but it should dry out.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Once it's treated and encapsulated. So I told him once we get the flooring taken up, if we see signs that the subfloor is weak in areas or, you know, needs to be replaced, then we would have to address it. But it's hard to tell until we rip out his floor and expose it.
Did you talk your way out of a job? Because it sounds like he's going to have to do some work before you can show up and do it.
In this scenario, I don't think I did, but I have done that before.
You have? Oh God.
Just like, you know, Brock had said before, we're not going to sell somebody something they don't need. And, and if they need something done that would inhibit us from being able to do what they're wanting from us, we're going to tell them, no, I can't put your floor in until you do this.
Yes.
That happens quite often, but, this guy was a retired home builder.
Yes.
So he was kind of playing dumb with me, you know, he was letting me talk and do my thing, and then he realized this guy knows what he's talking about. And then he said, well, let me be honest with you. I'm a retired home builder, and I agree with everything you're saying, and you're exactly right. And he said, we have plans of getting all this stuff remedied.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But give us a price for the floor, and if you've got a recommendation for the crawl space work, let us know.
Right. Very cool. Now, just to make a point, you physically, right at this moment, are in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Yes, I am.
Now, on the other hand, you have not taken your eye off Raleigh, Durham, and the Triangle. No, not at all.
I'm actually in Raleigh quite often. I have a great team. You know, even when I'm in Raleigh, I don't really do much. My team does everything. My managers, they do everything. I have a project manager that's been with us for 4 years. I have an office manager that's been with us for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And they run the show. I just help keep the bills paid and make sure everybody's happy.
He drinks coffee and takes meetings.
I do appearances. I sign autographs and do selfies with my listeners.
Very good. All right. Craig, the floor guy from American Dream Flooring and Tile. All right. Let's talk about the positive stuff, the floors that you can put down that are excellent and they're priced well, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're going to talk about some things that are essentially waterproof, carpets and hard flooring. That's coming up on Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9 and 107.3 AM 680 WPTF. FM 92.9, 107.3, and 680 WPTF on the AM frequency dial. Craig, the floor guy, is here. I'm Dave Alexander, and I want to remind everybody again, this radio show is now going to be starting at 11 o'clock every Saturday. 11 o'clock, right after the Weekend Gardener. Now, the extra cool thing is that, you know, there are going to be some weeks we've got football. But most of the time, it's going to be 11 o'clock for us. So tune in at the new time. Craig, the floor guy from American Dream Flooring and Tile. Talk to me about these waterproof products you've got. Because water from the top, you know, spilled water, has been a problem for flooring for forever.
Yeah, I like to say you can throw a dart in our showroom and you'll hit waterproof flooring. We kind of pride ourselves on being the waterproof experts in the industry. But yeah, there's lots of different levels to waterproof, and waterproof is a subjective term. It's important to keep in consideration when you're talking about flooring that waterproofness as a floor is concerned is going to be based off the intended usage of the floor. So a waterproof floor may be waterproof to wet shoes or a dog drooling on it or a glass being spilt off a table. But if you take that floor and you submerge it underwater for 3 weeks in a bathtub or a flooded home or, you know, some people will install the wrong floor in the wrong places, like outside on a porch. I've seen flooring put in garages, on porches. Yeah, that's not going to be adequate. It's probably not going to perform as you would like to, and you may not interpret its longevity to be considered as waterproof.
Yeah.
So that's important to know. You know, read the fine print. Anybody buying flooring, we always provide our customers with manufacturer's warranty information and the cleaning and care instructions of the products that they buy. Just so at least give them the benefit of the doubt, I would assume probably only about 25% of people we give it to probably actually read it, unfortunately.
Yes.
But we do offer it. And remember, we don't just do flooring. We do complete kitchen and bath remodels as well. We're actually bringing in a new line of cabinets right now. So we're going to be having, we've got three complete lines of cabinets that we offer. Countertops, we can do custom tile showers. So if you're listening and you have a question, not only about a floor, but about a kitchen or bath project, give us a call. We can discuss that as well here on the show.
All right, 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783. Yeah. Open up the lines now. Thank you, Craig.
But we've got waterproof vinyl plank. We've got waterproof laminate. We have the new Mohawk PureTech, which is the mixture of the two worlds. It's a mixture of recycled wood and vinyl that's used in the floor manufacturing process that is somehow melted and formed together, which is a really great product that's taken the flooring world by storm this year.
What is the advantage of that? What is the advantage of that floor?
The advantages of it are that it's not made in China. We're not importing toxic chemicals and using
fillers.
Toxic substances that we're buying and importing from overseas, ruining our country's economy to make the floor. You know, Mohawk Flooring, they're the largest flooring manufacturer in the world, and they're industry leaders in that category when it comes to innovations and ways of, as I always say, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Yeah. And I definitely, you know, that's why I you know, I ride the wagon with Mohawk most of the time
is good.
Because I feel the most confident and the safest with their floors, because I know what they do as a company when it comes to really, like I said, being part of the solution, not part of the problem. But the floor is made from 70% recycled material. So basically, rather than importing raw PVC pellets from China and then making the floors with it, they're utilizing materials that they already have, the scraps, and they figured out a way to reconstitute those, recycle those, and reuse them. But it's the most scratch resistant, most waterproof floor on the market for the money. Other manufacturers have tried to simulate the product or to make a similar product, but they can't do it to the quality standards and the price points that Mohawk does. So it's an exciting product. And then, you know, carpet, the Mohawk Smart Strand carpet, hypoallergenic, Awicatech, chemical free certifications. We have a display in our showroom that has a little baby onesie hanging on it.
Okay.
With a, you know, a little onesie that a baby would wear.
Sure.
And of course I stuck an American Dream flooring and tile sticker on it. And we have that up there.
Yeah.
So people will say, why is there a baby clothes hanging on this carpet display? Well, it's because Awicatech is the certification required for baby clothing. So you're not putting your child in toxic clothing that's off-gassing chemicals. It has to be chemical-free.
Yeah.
And Mohawk Smart Strand carpet is the only carpet on the market that holds that certification.
Somebody told me once, if you're smelling something, you're actually taking in particles of that thing. Now, I don't want to mention this around state fair time, because sometimes you're walking around eating a, you know, drumstick, and you can smell the pasture and the cows. But the truth is, when you smell a new carpet, no matter your inclination is to say, oh, yeah, that smells great, or to say, yeah, I don't like that smell. The truth is, it's off-gassing materials into you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're inhaling the chemicals. That's what you're smelling. New car smell. That's plastic chemicals, PFABs, they call them, or PFAS or
PFAS,
whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't particularly want either the new car smell or the old carpet smell. So I'm gonna turn to you rather than anybody else. All right, where's your showroom and what's the telephone number? We're not ending it, but I want you to tell how to contact.
Free Yep. Free consultations. If you want, even myself, I will call you if you're listening. If you've got a question and you want to schedule for me to call you sometime during the week or after hours, you can call. It's 877-6-FLOORS, which is 877-635-6677.
Okay. Well, I've got a news person who we're going to get the website on in just a bit. News person wants to present the news coming up next. FM 92.9, 107.3, and 680 WPTF on the AM dial. Craig, the floor guy, is here on Making Your Home Great. Craig, talk to me about some things that are on sale. They're good prices for good quality products.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought that up because we are rolling out. You know, we're officially past summer. The last day of summer was, what, last week, I think? So we are in the fall, so it's time for us to launch our fallback savings sale, we call it. So what I've done is I've actually lowered our regular installation labor prices on all of our installation labor by 10%.
Yeah.
And we have taken additional 10% off of every contract when you buy material and installation from us. Of course, we have our best price guarantee, which means we will beat any competitor's price. You know, we want to make sure it's done right. I see too many people making the wrong decision just to try to save a buck, and then we're out there ripping the floor out and redoing it. Another thing to consider is, you know, when money is tight, do it right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to see people hiring the wrong person because they can't afford to hire a reputable person.
Right.
So I've lowered all of our labor by 10%, and we're taking an additional 10% off. So you're getting 20% off labor. You're getting 10% off our already best price guaranteed prices on all products. And of course, you get our lifetime installation warranty on our premier products, which is basically all the Mohawk waterproof, the PureTech, the RevWood, the Smart Strand carpet, all lifetime installation warranty. We still have our stock specials as well. If you've got a quick fix project that you need, maybe you've got a rental property or you're selling the house and you need to throw some nice new upgraded carpet in there real quick on a budget, we have that. We have our stock carpet. It's 15-year stain resistant carpet, bleach proof carpet. Starting at just $1 a square foot. And we have our in stock 20 mil luxury vinyl plank, starting at just $199 a square foot. So, you know, we're trying to be able to provide all services needed to, you know, everyone, no matter what your budget is or what your project is.
Yeah.
You know, whether you want your dream floor that you want to, you know, live on for the next 30 years of your life, or you just need something fast. I mean, a lot of times we're able to offer next day installation on our stock products as well. So we can do it fast and inexpensive, or we can be as thorough as needed. We can assess your crawl space and we can do custom moldings. We do site finished hardwood. If you want a nice hand finished hardwood floor, if you want updated stairs and balusters and rails, we can help with that. If you want to design your dream kitchen or bathroom upgrade with custom cabinets and vanities and quartz countertops and a nice design custom backsplash and shower, we can do all that. We can get you, you know, your frameless glass. We have electricians and plumbers and many friends and contractors that we work with. Like I said, no matter what the project is, give us a call, schedule a free consultation, a free estimate, a phone consultation, and let us just help steer you down the right path. You know, that's important. Like I said, if it's something we can't do, we'll let you know and we'll put you in contact with the right people to do it. But just because your budget's tight, you know, don't jeopardize not doing it right.
Right. There is a concept now in bathrooms where the manufacturer puts something on radio or TV and they say, you know, we guarantee one day installation. Now, the truth is at that point, when you pick up the phone and call her 888 number, they call the 800 number, it's the manufacturer who's then picking up the line, and then they're finding somebody local. It's not as if they've got a firm picked out, and they're all set to go. And
all those one day kitchen renovation things, those are all franchised investment company industry things. It's, you're not getting quality craftsmanship work. You're not, I mean, in my opinion, and again, on several shows, I have challenged anyone out there listening, if you offer those types of showers, if you want to come on the show and discuss with me why that shower is worth $12,000 to $15,000, I got a seat for you. We'll discuss it. Maybe you can turn me. But I have a competitor that has a commercial that he says, he said nothing's done right in one day.
Oh,
and I think it's very. And I saw a great commercial as well in Raleigh. I believe it is a company that does. I think they do like crawl spaces or mold and remediation or something, but they have it's a Chuck in a Truck commercial. Have you seen those Chuck in a Truck commercials?
I haven't seen them. Are they making fun of the the people who are handymen who are then installing complex things?
They're poking fun at these guys driving around who say they're licensed contractors that are not, that don't have the properly state license or industry certification license. Just because you've got a white van or a white truck and you got a doing business name, that doesn't mean you're a properly vetted and licensed contractor. We can touch on that real quick too. If you got a project going on in your house, whoever you're hiring has to get a certificate of insurance. Tell them you want a certificate of insurance assigned to your house before they begin the project. So what that means is they're going to call their insurance company and their insurance company is going to send you, the homeowner, a certificate of insurance that lists you as the beneficiary of damages if occurred at that address. So if you don't do that, and they say, oh no, we're insured, okay, good to go, come on in my house and start working. If they come in your house and start working and they do damage something, and you say, okay, well, you damaged my home, fix it, they could vanish. And if you don't have that certificate of insurance that's been assigned to you with your address and your name on it as a benefit, so what that does is gives you the right to file a claim on their insurance,
right?
So make sure you have a certificate of insurance in hand, and ask to see their license. If they have a county business license or a state business license, you have the right to ask for that. Now, unfortunately, in the state of North Carolina, there's not a lot of licensing involved for most of home improvement trades, other than HVAC, plumbing, electrical, and home builders. Specialty contractors such as roofers and flooring companies and painters and bricklayers and concrete companies, and the list goes on, landscaping, none of those guys are required to have a license. And in that case, what you want to do to make sure you're working with the most reputable company is make sure it is in fact a company. Verify their place of business. Is this, if it's a guy working out of his house, that's a risk. That shows you right there that they're not a professional company. Professional companies will have a professional place of business.
Uh-huh.
They will have employees. They'll have processes that bring reputability and oversight and quality assurance to the processes and the services that they offer. So I recommend working with companies like that rather than just hiring a guy in a truck.
Right.
And like I say, our pest price guarantee, if a guy in a truck comes out there, Chuck in a truck comes out, Stan in a van, whatever, Get Her Done flooring company comes out there and you think you want to get a second opinion, give us a call.
Yeah.
If they're proposing the proper product and to do it the right way, and their price is cheaper than our regular advertised or discounted price, I will beat that price.
Yeah.
To make sure you have the confidence and the comfort level that you are working with a fully licensed, insured, vetted professional company. You know, you don't have to give up those things to save money. With American Dream Flooring and Tile, we want you to be 100% confident in the purchase with the price, the service, the quality, everything. And right. That's why I have the best price guarantee.
And when somebody says, oh, yeah, we're insured, they could mean all sorts of insurance. Do we have liability insurance if somebody gets hurt on the job? Well, nobody fell off a floor. Last time I saw it, you know, it's not like climbing on your roof. But that's not the insurance that protects you, the homeowner.
Yeah, and a lot of – I've seen guys, too, where they say they're insured and they'll show you their certificate of insurance.
Yeah.
But it won't be assigned. There's a little box on the bottom left of the insurance certificate where the underwriter or the insurance company actually types in the certificate holder that's assigned to that policy.
Right.
So, like, they could go get – basically, they could go buy a general liability workers' comp insurance policy, make the initial down payment, get a copy of that certificate, an undersigned certificate, then never make another payment on their insurance again, and take that blank certificate and carry it around showing people, yeah, I'm insured. Look, here's a copy of my insurance.
Oh, man.
That's why you have to call the insurance company or have them call their insurance company and assign you a certificate with your name and address of your home listed as the certificate holder.
Right.
If they can't provide that to you, that means they haven't paid their bill and they don't have coverage.
Something tells me the way you describe that, it's got to be one of those routine things that insurance companies do. It must be something they do every day.
I can have a COI issued to any one of my customers in a matter of minutes. I simply send an email. And usually within 30 minutes, they have sent it back saying, here you go, attached, you will find copy of assigned COI. If there's anything else we can help you with, please let us know. We do it all the time.
Very good.
It takes minutes.
All right. Craig, the floor guy, is here from American Dream Flooring and Tile. We're on FM 92.9, 107.3, AM 680 WPTF on Making Your Home Great. FM 92.9, 107.3, and AM 680 WPTF, also WPTF.com and WPTFplus.com. They got a whole bunch of stuff going on here. And this radio show is now starting at 11 o'clock, at 11 to 1 every Saturday. Craig, the floor guy, joins us from American Dream Flooring and Tile. What fun do you want to get us into over the next 10 minutes?
What fun do I want to get us in? I'd love to have a caller. I know there's got to be somebody out there that thinks they're smarter than me or that wants to trip me up. Give me a call and see if you can trip me up. If you know something I don't know and you can teach me something, I'll buy you a burger at High Park Bar and Grill.
Ooh, you won't
I'd
have
love to.
To
get it.
A radio station,
a caller on the phone.
Frontier Burger. Don't worry about that. 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783. You alluded about, I don't know, 20 minutes, a half an hour ago to the fact that things are now coming, you know, production of flooring materials used to mostly be in Southeast Asia and China. Now, not so much. Was that a pandemic thing or a, you know?
I think it was. Yeah, I think a lot of the flooring distributors and manufacturers that were importing from overseas got burnt pretty bad during COVID. And then the current administration that we have running our country has allowed that issue to grow and fester more as well. So what they've had to do is basically protect themselves, which it's funny how that worked. But so they've invested millions and millions of dollars into building their own facilities here to manufacture the floors.
Yeah.
But and that created a vacuum and made another problem. So what happened is you got small time, what I call kind of like wannabe flooring distributors who have filled that void of these manufacturers overseas in China and in Vietnam and Thailand, South Korea. They don't have these big guys buying the flooring from them anymore.
Yeah.
So they started soliciting in any way they can to sell to anybody that'll buy from them,
right,
which created a vacuum of all of these unvetted, low quality floors mm-hmm. being imported and sold under these names no one's ever heard of. You know, selling out of a warehouse somewhere, yeah. and they're selling on Facebook Marketplace, or, you know, I've seen them at flea markets selling flooring. I mean, it's crazy. I'm surprised you can't buy OVP at the gas station. There's probably someone out there that's seen it, but yeah, those are unvetted floors, and you're just setting yourself up if you buy them. The big guys like Mohawk, Shaw, Mannington, Engineered Floors, these are the biggest flooring manufacturers and distributors in the country, and they test these products before they just release them to the public.
Yeah,
I know for sure Mohawk does. So at least you've got some protection that you're not just, you know. And there's a big in the news. I don't know if you have listened. If everybody heard that, formerly Lumber Liquidators, they changed their name last year to LL Flooring, has filed bankruptcy. They're
right.
Chapter 7, Chapter 11. They are going away. Bye bye.
Right.
So we've been getting inundated with phone calls over the last few weeks from people who have a floor that was from there that they've had problems with. And they've reached out to try to get a remedy, and they're being told, sorry, we're out of business. We're going out of business. We can't help you.
Yeah. It might have been 10 years ago, long before I met Craig, the floor guy, that I put in a floor from a place either with the word liquidator or warehouse in the name. And it was the lowest quality product. We got it down, it started scuffing. I mean, it was terrible. And, of course, we were doing it DIY, and we pulled up linoleum. I think linoleum. Rolled, what do you call it? Rolled?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sheet vinyl or linoleum.
Sheet vinyl. All right. So I pulled it up, and it had this special flooring underneath it. It was like a backing. And I had to pull those up, I was told. And if you've ever tried to pull those things up, they're stapled down with 300 staples. And I did the DIY on it. I mean, I was on my hands and knees for days with, you know, dangerous staples on the kitchen floor. But the point is, the whole process, we did it, you know, do it yourself. We did the living room in an hour and a half. Then we got to a doorway. 3 hours later, we were into the other room, and we were hurting. We didn't want to go anywhere else. We didn't want to do any more. The point is,
I mean, like anything, you got to have the specific knowledge to do it, the experience to know how to utilize the knowledge you have, and you got to have specific tools, specialty tools to be able to do it properly. You know, I don't work on my cars. I don't change my own oil because I'm not an auto mechanic. I'm not good at it. I'm not experienced at it. Is it rocket science? No, but I leave it up to the professionals.
Yeah,
you know, that's the best. Yeah, there's a retired dentist that lives in my neighborhood, but I'm not going to go down and sit in his living room and let him give me a root canal.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, no, you don't want that. Craig, the floor guy, is on. Our number is 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783. Call us up with a question. Yes, I'll hand you an High Park Bar and Grill gift certificate. So, Craig, what else have we got? Flooring.
Let me finish earlier. Oh, yeah. We had to go to commercial. I was telling everybody about our free project consultations and free phone consultations. Call 877-6-FLOORS. That's 877-635-6677. Our phones are answered 24 hours a day, by the way.
Yes.
So if anyone's listening and they can call any time of the day, during the day, our team answers it. You'll speak to one of the ladies in the office, probably. Maybe me, maybe Don. We've got a few project managers, including myself, that could potentially answer the phone.
Yeah.
And then after hours, we roll those phones to a phone concierge service that are answered by a live person,
right,
not AI. It is not a computer you're talking to. It's a real person. And they just want to gather your information, and they'll offer to schedule you a phone consultation or an on-site estimate. Or if you just said, no, at this time, I just want to leave a message to have someone return my phone call. You could even say, I want to talk to Craig. I want to talk to John. We get those messages live. You know, it's I can be watching my TV at 9 o'clock at night and my phone ding, and I see I got a voice transcript of a customer that called and left a voicemail. And a lot of times I'll call them right back if I know who it is, or if they're requesting an immediate return phone call, or if not, I'll call them back the next morning. Good. But yeah, give us a call at 877-6-FLOORS. Our showroom in Raleigh is 308 Sherwood Drive. You can also go on our website, AmericanDreamFloor.com. You can see all of our specials.
And Barbara wants to ask us a question.
Oh, let's talk to Barbara.
Hey, Barbara, what's up?
Well, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday.
Hey.
I have a question because we are evaluating, and we haven't talked to John or Greg, but we listen to the station regularly.
Great.
But what I'd like to know, when you're given these names, like companies, Mohawk is one of them, which we look at.
Yeah.
Is there different variations of the quality and insurability of their products? I know there's different grades, levels, and all that, but do you still get the insurability of their products like you're promoting?
Well, so thanks for calling in, Barbara, and thanks for the question, and thanks for listening to us. We appreciate you listening to Making Your Home Great. But so the answer to your question is you're going to see across the board with the major manufacturers, they're going to all have similar products, but some of them have proprietary or patented features of the products that will make one product maybe a little bit better than the other. Like, for instance, floating floors such as luxury vinyl plank and the wood laminates and waterproof wood laminates, that's probably the number one selling flooring category in the nation right now. Wow. The way that floor is put together is a tongue and groove lock that snaps and holds it together. And a lot of people don't know that that is a patented feature. And there's only a couple of different patented types of locking mechanisms. And the way they lock together and hold that floor together are different based off of the patent. And yes, I do think one is better than the other. I don't want to get too floor geeky on you, but I think the Mohawk Uniclick product is the best lock because it completely locks on all four sides, whereas the other type of patented lock does not lock completely together on all four sides.
Barbara, I'm going to let you talk to Craig on 877-6-FLOORS.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we've just run out of time.
Okay, well, I thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, give us a call, Barbara. I'd love to call and talk to you more. I answer all your questions.
We are listening, and I will. Thank you very much.
All right, this has been Making Your Home Great on WPTF.